DNA is the blueprint for all of life. But as the blueprint, it really doesn't get involved in implementing what life is and what cells do. RNA is the only product of the DNA blueprint, and as such, RNA implements the genetic information that is in DNA. RNA, the only product of DNA, is actually in control of when genes are expressed, how much of a gene expression turns into the final product, which is a protein, and which genes are turned off or kept off. So RNA is central to controlling how genes are regulated during life. It is our goal to create new technologies to investigate RNA and its function, its structure, to use RNA as a target for new interventions to turn genes on and turn genes off, and thereby develop new drugs, novel drugs, and diagnostics.
We are born with our DNA. Are we born with our RNA? Can we alter our RNA, for instance, through exercise, through healthy eating, no smoking? Is that just something we're born with the RNA and there's really nothing we can do with it?
Well, RNA, as I said, is a product of DNA. And everything you do, you eat, your environment, the environmental insults that you have, are influential on which RNAs are going to be products of DNA. And therefore, these products of DNA, as they are able to change your genetic expression and respond to chemical insults, to respond appropriately to diet, and therefore you are changing your library of RNA molecules by doing certain things in your life.
The Institute put out a very short video sort of explaining what you do there and the difference between DNA and RNA. And the video uses the example of a car coming out of the car factory with square tires. Obviously, that shouldn't happen. When the square tires are put on that car, is that the RNA going bad?
That is either the RNA going bad or the original gene being somehow mutated to create those square tires. Now, we could do, as the video has explained, what car companies do all the time, and that is to fix the problem at the end, take the square tires off and replace them with round tires. Or we can go upstream of the final product and change the way RNA manages the production of the protein, the car.
The RNA Institute at UAlbany, in just 3 short years, it's really gone from a small operation to something quite large. Tell us about the growth of the Institute itself.
I appreciate your asking that because it has been a phenomenal ride. The Institute started with a handful of people, researchers not only at UAlbany, but also at the Wadsworth and at RPI across the river. But the mission and vision was to become New York's national RNA research resource, and we're just about reaching that plateau in its capabilities. At present, we have over 50 laboratories, most of which are in the Capital District area and in New York, but we reach from San Francisco to Boston with these 50 labs. Within these 50 labs, there are over 350 researchers who are working on RNA, and they're directed their RNA research towards neuropathologies, cancer research, and drug-resistant infections such as MRSA and HIV.
If someone comes down with a serious illness, has the research from RNA already produced a treatment, something we could get from the pharmacist or some sort of treatment we would receive at the hospital for a serious illness?
There are a number of RNA therapeutics and RNA-based therapeutics that are in clinical trials right now. But the one example that has come onto the market is a drug for adult late-onset macular degeneration. And that has been an excellent product, and it is the forerunner of what we can do with RNA.
I know you're a scientific guy, but what about the economic benefits of this institute? What has this institute meant for the Albany area, for the university, and for the local economy?
I think it's been terrific. The institute has created jobs. Those jobs are highly skilled, high-paying jobs. The institute has hired through the university 6 new faculty members in the last year and a half. We've hired 6 staff people, including major scientists. We have 4 other positions for supporting the research resource that we're going to fill. And we're bringing to New York from outside of the state people with novel ideas and commitment and passion to do this research. We've also achieved a interaction with corporations. We have a corporate advisory board with 5 members, and these corporations have already contributed $2 million to the institute. The institute has brought in from outside of the university $17 million in just these 3 years.
I suppose for some people, both inside medicine and research and those of us outside, the patients, the holy grail for research one day would be a cure for cancer. Do you think this RNA work may one day actually lead to that cure for cancer?
I believe so. And my belief is in the fact that RNA controls gene expression. And many of the cancers, especially breast cancers that has been in the news lately, are derived from mutations in genes. Even though those mutations exist and we're not going to remove them, we have the next player in RNA who can turn those genes off or supplement what is needed in those cancers by turning other genes on.
You mentioned earlier a very interesting term that I've never heard before, environmental insult. What does that mean?
Well, environmental insults come from toxic chemicals in the air or in the water, or could be radiation, for instance. A good example of radiation injury is when someone 50 years ago or 40 years ago is treated for a cancer with radiation and then ends up with other cancers today due to the radiation they had years ago.